Let's look at John 13 again. We're not quite through with it. John 13:31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." Let's pray. Father, give us wisdom as we open up your word. Reveal to us your will and in our lives as we live every day. We ask you, Lord, that we would please you, and that, Lord, we would humble ourselves before you. And we thank you for all of the blessings you've given us. You have richly blessed us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. I think about the last thing I mentioned last week was, what do you respect? What do you respect about God? You know, I'm impressed by creation. I don't know whether you are or not, but I am. All the different kinds of eyes. Little mosquitoes have eyes. Squirrels have eyes. Rats have eyes. People have eyes. And there's all sorts of different eyes. My dog got some beautiful eyes, and he sure see at night better than me. And, you know, I think about a lot of other things. I was a pastor in West Texas while I was going to college. I was through with the Air Force, and I was going to college studying to be a preacher. And I was called to this little community on a highway going west. And I had a family, two families basically, that were in a dairy. And they got the milk out, delivered the milk. I don't know who they sold it to or whatever, but that was what they did. And I learned something from them. One thing is they never get a day off. Those cows have to be milked every day, twice a day. There are no days off. There are no sick days. There's nothing like that. You just amazed. I said, I don't think I want to have a dairy. I like my days off. I like to go fishing sometimes or hunting sometimes or whatever else. Just driving through the hill country. You know, beautiful stuff. Now, this was a sweet family, though. They were a very faithful family. He was probably about 40 at this time. I was about 22. And he had to get up sometimes in the middle of the night and work. And he got an interest in the stars. He was out lots of times at night. He wasn't a big dairy. He didn't have a lot of hired hands or anything like that. And so he got looking with binoculars to the stars. Well, it inspired him a little bit. He really got it where he enjoyed it and thought a lot about it. He built his own telescope. About so long, about that big around, he ground his lens himself. That was an impressive man for me. Found out how to do it, and he accomplished it, and it was beautiful. I'd never had one, a telescope that big. I'd seen some small ones, and I'd used binoculars to look at stars and stuff like that. But man, he invited me out for 2 o'clock in the morning. I went out, and he showed me the different stars. And you know, in the Big Dipper, when there's a curve in the handle, that looks like one star to you. Well, he showed me that night, that's two stars. It just splits apart as you get the binoculars out there. And then it gave me an interest in the stars. I'm still impressed. I'm still impressed with the stars. I'm impressed that they've never found the end of this universe. Aren't you impressed with that? I am impressed with eternity. It blows my mind. I just don't know how to think. Eternity. Eternal life? Wow. And I'm impressed also with a God He said, now, Jesus said in verse 31, therefore when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. The cross is not a glorification. It's a tragedy in a sense of humanity. But as far as God is concerned, as far as Jesus is concerned, to go to the cross for people that didn't love him, that he would die for me and I didn't want him, I didn't seek him, I was not impressed, I didn't hardly know what I believed. I believed that he was God. I believed there was a God. I didn't believe in evolution. Never. That thought never came to my mind hardly till when I was taught it, and I didn't even like it when I was taught it. But God Almighty did a marvelous thing. The creation is a marvelous thing. The universe is a marvelous thing. Amen. Your human body is a marvelous thing. You have a self-healing body. You were born with it. And you know, my dad was an old farmer, and he raised hogs. And he said, he wondered about God. He said, you know, you've got these hogs, the sow is there, and she's got a litter of little pigs, and she's got 8 breast nipples, and they just fight for them and just fight for them like that, you know. And he said, why didn't God let the male give milk too? And that impressed him. He was a farmer. Those are wasted nipples. Wasted nipples on that big hog there. He could be sharing part of his work. Well, that was my dad. I'm impressed. When they came out with DNA, that blew my mind. And you know, everything is ordered by it. Everything. You can take a little piece out of one of my fingers and reproduce me. Whoa. You say, please don't. I understand. But it impresses me. And for very intelligent people, and many of the people that do not believe are very intelligent. Yes, they are. But for them to come to the conclusion after DNA is proven, after the vastness of the universe is proven, to believe there is no God, it all came out of a little golf ball. Come on. That's stupidity.
Yeah, amen.
That is blindness.
Yeah.
You refuse to accept the truth that you absolutely know.
Amen.
Somebody had to plan these things. They're planned right down to my little webbed toes. I've got a lot of grandchildren, great-grandchildren, one of my grandchildren has webbed toes like I have. I have webbed toes on the 2 toes on each side of my big toe. It's a little about halfway webbed up. Dara's boy, little boy, has webbed toes. And she asked the doctor about it. He said, you'd probably swim better. I am impressed. I'm impressed with God.
Amen.
I'm not impressed with evolution. I'm not impressed with unbelief. I'm not impressed to people who haven't recognized that the Bible is the Word of God and it's true.
Right.
And things like this, now is the Son of Man glorified and God is glorified in Him. Jesus is glorified in the great love and wisdom and power to die in my place. And give it to me as a gift.
Thank you, Lord.
That's another mistake most religion makes. Salvation is not a reward.
Right.
It's not a reward for your being so good and going to Sunday school and giving your money to the church and helping little old ladies cross the street.
Yeah.
It's not a reward. It's a gift.
Amen.
The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our Lord. And by the way, I'm not waiting to get eternal life. And you aren't either.
Right.
I got it right now. I've had it for 66 years.
Amen.
Eternal life lives within me. Wow, he lives within you.
Amen.
Jesus said, I will come and make my abode with you. And that's what he does. And the more you learn to live with him and trust him, why, the better off you'll be. If God be glorified, verse 32, in him, and God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, let a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Wow. That's a new interesting thought. I'm giving you a thought here. You need to love each other like I loved you. I keep getting these impossible things in the Bible. I think, man, I come up short all the time. Man. You have a hard enough time loving anybody but yourself. Half of you don't even love your spouse as much as you love yourself. Isn't that right? Am I telling the truth? No, we have to judge. Am I being selfish? What do I need to do with this or that or other thing like that, you know? It's something that we face every day of our life. Are we going to please ourselves or are we going to please somebody else? Are we going to help ourselves or help somebody else? Well, he just laid it right on you right here. He said, I've been living with you 3 years. You know me. You know my life. You know how I am. When I love each other like I've loved you. Wow. I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I am impressed. I don't have any confidence in myself. I have confidence in Jesus.
Amen.
I don't have any certainty in myself that I could stay right or hang on to Jesus and keep hanging on when tough times come. I don't trust myself that much. So I'm always confessing, Lord, I don't do enough. Lord, I don't love enough. Lord, I, you know, that's my confession. That's a lot of my prayer. I don't gamble and drink. I don't cuss anymore and I don't do a lot of other things. But you know, I know the attitude of my heart and I know how self-centered I am. And I think everybody else in here is self-centered.
Yeah, amen.
You, the very first thing you do when any new thing comes up is, how's it going to affect me?
Right.
Wow. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Well, okay. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbors yourself. No. As I have loved you. Wow. He loved me enough to die in my place. He loved me enough to go to the cross for me. He loved me enough to stay on the cross when he could have called 72 angels.
Praise the Lord.
One angel slew 185 soldiers in the Old Testament. And if he had 72 at his disposal, wow, what would have happened on Golgotha? I tell you the truth, that's a glorious thing. And then to come to you and me and tell us, and I remember when I first got saved and surrendered to preach, and I'm learning the Bible and I'm learning my own thoughts about a bunch of different things. And I think, how in the world can I live up to this? And I had to admit, I can't. I can try all I want to and I keep on trying, but I can't live up to that. God giving his son, I wouldn't give either of my sons for you. I don't have that much love for you. But God did.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you.
God did. I'm impressed.
Right.
I'm impressed with God loving sinners.
Amen.
I would have a hard time dealing with some of these homeless people. Because they will not follow any instruction. They won't obey any rule. The reason why they're living in the bush is because they won't even obey the rules at a rescue mission.
Yeah.
And they're suffering, but there's almost no way to help them. I don't know how you're going to really help them. We've got all sorts of organizations right now working, doing their best to help homeless people. There are people that are really suffering. And yet, that's a very difficult thing to do. I can get disgusted dealing with people. Can you? I know you do because you tell me about it. I'm not lying. I know what I'm talking about. I've been a preacher 66 years, and I started when I was 20. I have heard a lot of tall tales, and I've heard a lot of self-interested stories. Well, I got my own self-interest story. I know I'm just like you.
Yeah.
Wow. God is glorified by the salvation He promotes.
Amen.
Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That guy was on there because he deserved to die. I'm pretty sure he deserved what he got. But you know what? He didn't die and go to hell. He died and went to heaven. He was more alive after that day on the cross than he'd ever been in his life.
Amen.
And it's a beautiful story. God gives salvation not to those who deserve it.
Thank you, Lord.
You know why? Nobody deserves it.
Amen.
I know some of you think you're sweet. Some of you think you're kind. Some of you think you live altogether right. And you're so much better than the other people that live on your block. You're still not good.
Yeah, amen.
You still are a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Moses sinned and went short of the glory of God. Moses struck the rock. Moses didn't get to go into the promised land because he struck the rock. You want to compare yourself to Moses? How about compare yourself to David, you want to go out and fight Goliath? I don't think I want to fight a fellow that's as tall as this ceiling. Good night. But he knew what he was doing. He'd killed the lion, he'd killed the bear, he'd killed the coyote, whatever else was messing with the sheep. And he'd brought the sheep back and he'd protected them. He knew what he could do with those smooth stones. I always liked it. Somebody asked one preacher, said, why did he get five stones? Wasn't confident in his aim? No, he knew he had four brothers. He knew what he could do with a stone. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightway glorify him. I've been watching several of the Billy Graham campaigns that were on TV that you can see. And I just enjoy his preaching. I enjoy Billy Graham's preaching. That's a great preacher. He was 99 years old when he finally died. His wife had been dead about 10 years. And listening to him preach, the simplicity of his message, the directness of it, God died for you. He paid your debt. You want to go to heaven? Believe in Jesus Christ. If you try to pay your own debt, you'll never make it, fella. Never make it. Anyway, Jesus Christ is glorified more than Billy Graham. I wonder how far the Jews had influence in the time of Christ. But when those apostles were sent out after Pentecost, and they went around the world. The testimony of their lives is amazing. It impresses me. They went out preaching the gospel to everyone that would listen. And most of them died. Some of them died some very tragic deaths. But you know, Judas was the only one that ever turned around. The rest of them went down to the grave. And here's old John. We're reading his book right here. He wrote 2 books and 3 letters that we have still. He's an exiled man, an old man exiled on an island. He can't get off on it because he can't swim that far. And they won't let him off with a boat. He's there because of the testimony of Jesus Christ. And God uses him to write these books. And they're beautiful books. With a direct purpose that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, believing you have life through His name. The most published book in the world is the Bible. Isn't that amazing? And for years it's been so. And not only in past times, the name of Jesus Christ has gone around the world and is in every country. Go into all the world. Well, we couldn't go into all the world. We can go into Mexico and we can go into Poland and whatever, you know. And we've got some fruit there. Praise the Lord. Some of it has been showing up here at the church. I've had several come in and said, I was here years ago when you were this, you know, whatever. I didn't remember them. It's like my kids when I taught in school. I'm not sure how many I taught. I taught a bunch. And they will meet me, and I'm still recognizable. This old face hasn't changed much. They are not recognizable to me. I don't recognize them. They got beards, they've grown up, they've got hair, whatever, you know. But the name of Jesus Christ has gone around the world. I remember back in the 50s, 5 missionaries were slaughtered in South America. And then the wife of one of them went back into that very tribe that slaughtered her husband and the other 4 missionaries with a girl from that tribe and won that tribe to the Lord. And back in the years, 50s, 90s, 60s, whatever, in one of the Billy Graham campaigns in Europe, one of the preachers from that tribe that killed these missionaries, he was now a preacher of the gospel in that tribe. They took him in. He was on one of the Billy Graham crusades. How about that for impressive? God Almighty has got a wonderful love. It's amazing. And I'm impressed with it. It impresses me, the love of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. I would love to be able to love you as Jesus loved me. And I see it as a goal. I see it as a standard. But I don't see it that I can complete it. I'm not walking around bragging, oh boy, that's me. No. I praise God for the great gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. I listen to too much of what are we trying to get all this stuff. It all ought to be better. No doubt about that. But the heavens impress me. I look at those stars. They still impress me. I think, how big is it? What else is out there? We're still discovering new animals. We're still discovering other things that we didn't know anything about. Medicine. What doctors are finding out is what your body responds to in certain things. And they're able to help you. Praise the Lord. I thank the Lord for the doctor on my foot. My sister, her last couple of years, she had no feet. She was a diabetic like me. And so I went to this doctor and I said, I would sort of like to save my feet. And I've got a little toe that won't heal. Well, she healed it by doing what she knew this body would respond to. I'm impressed. I'm impressed I'm wearing a shoe today. Wow. You know something? I'm impressed by the heavens. I'm impressed by a city that paves its street with gold. I never saw one. I'm impressed with people bowing down and praising God. We don't do it enough.
No.
Most of the time, I think, even when we pray, most of our prayers are selfish prayers. Lord, I'm hurting. Help me. Heal me. Lord, my kid is hurting. Heal him. God, hear me because I'm broke. Give me some money. Give me some food. Whatever. How about give me a new car, Lord? You ever pray that way? I don't mean to be mean to you this morning, but it's just I'm impressed. I'm impressed with some things. I'm impressed with our selfishness and that God loves us.
Amen.
I'm impressed with His creation in every way. That just makes me stand up and really do some serious thinking. And I'm impressed that I can go out and preach the gospel, and if they receive the gospel at my mouth, they receive the Lord. Isn't that amazing? That's an amazing thing. I'm an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. When our Billy Graham reached more men than probably any man alive has ever lived reached. Certainly preached to more people than Jesus did. All the apostles maybe. But you think about it. Wonderful, wonderful message. Jesus loves you. Jesus will forgive your sins. Jesus will give you eternal life. And Jesus said, I'm going to go make a mansion for you, and I'm going to come back and get you. Now I'm sort of looking forward to, I would like to just lay down on my pillow one night and then wake up and say, hello, Lord. Or it might be all right. I'd be driving that little old car of mine home and I hear a shout and a trumpet. Toot, 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 toot. Boo! I fly away. That would be all right too. I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm impressed. I've never had a mansion. I live in a pretty nice house right now. I really do. Just me in that big old house. Me and my dog. But you know something? I'm going to a mansion. I remember one of the old cowboy songs like, as sort of a spiritual. And just give me a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. Did you ever hear that one? Just give me a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. That's all right for me. It's a hillbilly talking about Jesus. And he's saying, you don't have to give me these big things, Lord. Listen, there aren't any cabins in Glory Land. Did you ever figure that out? Every one of them is a mansion. Riches is an amazing thing. It can come and go down here. And generally it goes. Even some of the very, very rich people, man, I'm telling you, I've heard of a few business deals this year that just drive me mad. Lose billions of dollars on a business deal. And it's still richer than everybody else. Well, heaven has streets paved with gold. And he has got gates of pearls. How big is that oyster? Can you imagine? What planet did he get that oyster off of? There's some amazing things that are said if you just take it and believe it. He said, verse 35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. We need to love each other. We need to quit criticizing. We need to quit fussing and fighting. We need to put our selfishness aside. You can make yourself a whole lot better marriage if you just quit being so stinking selfish. Amen, amen, brother. Good preaching, Brother Lindell. Quit your selfishness. Serve your brother. Serve your sister. Serve your husband. Serve your wife. Quit complaining about all the problems you've got. You got it better than most of the people that ever lived a life. That's the truth. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, that's verse 36. Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me here afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. What that reveal, foreknowledge. Jesus knew everything that was going to happen before it happened. Some of the prophets in the Old Testament knew some things that were going to happen before they would never live to see any part of it be fulfilled. We can turn around and look around at their prophecies and look at history books and see their prophecy fit the history books. They knew what was going to happen. That Bible is the Word of God. Amen. And the foreknowledge proves it. Look in John 18:16. The cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. That's verse 38. John 18 now. Peter stood at the door without and went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door and brought Peter in. Then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art now thou also one of his disciples? He saith, I am not. That's the first time. Verse 25. Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. That's the second time. Look at verse 26. 18:26. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again. That's the third time. And then the cock crowed. Yeah, Peter, you meant well. I believe Peter always did mean well. Just like you. I believe you mean well. But you need to be humble enough to confess your sins and keep yourself close to God. Don't get too proud of yourself. You know, in verse 18, John 18:26, what he said, his kinsman whose ear Peter cut off. That doesn't tell you in John who had the sword and did the cutting or fighting. Peter was fighting for Jesus and Jesus just stopped him. And I believe that knocked the wind out of Peter. I mean, he was ready to fight and to die with a sword. Well, Jesus just healed a near ear up. And knock the wind out of Peter. We just going to go? You're just going to give up? Just going to let them have yourself? You know something? Old Peter, don't be thinking you're pretty much like him. He walked on the water. There's nobody but Jesus and Peter that ever walked on the water. I never heard of anybody else walking on the water. Have you? No. But Jesus walked on the water. And Peter walked on the water. And I tell you, he did some other things. At Pentecost, man, he preached a message. Wow. Spirit of God came down through his life. And as evidently, he was crucified upside down. At his own request, as I understand it. Because he didn't want to be like Jesus. He wanted his crucifixion to be different. I think it was a piece of humility for him. But Peter had to speak up and then have to admit he was wrong. You're going to have to do that. You know what is a real secret to a faithful, successful Christian life? Humility. Humility about your own righteousness. Humility about your own wisdom. Humility about your own love. You need to be humble enough to admit how faithless we really are. It's an amazing thing. Peter wanted to fight. He proved that. He pulled that sword out and he went after that soldier. Cut his ear off if he hadn't ducked, you know. And Jesus just put it right back on. How about that? He healed the man that's taking him to the crucifixion. You know why? He's going to accomplish something that is fascinating. He's going to die a substitutionary death for all mankind. He didn't die for angels. He died for you. He didn't die for angels. No, no. He died for those that were crucifying him. He died for mankind. Adam's lineage. That's who he died for. Some people say that dogs have souls, and is my little dog going to be with me in heaven? I have no idea. I don't read anywhere where there's any dogs in heaven. I don't think they have a soul like we have. I love my dogs. I've had dogs since I was a little kid. They first got me a little goat. I was on the farm, you know. They got me a little goat. And that little goat grew up just a little bit. And every time I'd bend over, he'd butt me in the butt. And they put the goat back out the pasture and got me a dog. And I've had dogs ever since. He died for Adam's sins. Wow. Adam, because you're an Adam, you were born with a sinful nature. You got a problem, man, being good. You got a problem thinking about somebody else. That's one of your most difficult things. It eats into every area of your life, and you have to guard against it. And you have to be honest about it and confess it. Don't be too proud when it comes to talking to the Lord.
Amen.
You ought to start with forgive me, and then you ought to finish with praise you. Thank you. Bless you, Lord. Wow. And Peter denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Now Jesus dealt with Peter when he resurrected from the grave, and he dealt with him and he restored him. And Peter remained a faithful servant the rest of his life, as most of these apostles did. That's another thing that I'm impressed with. Wow. The lives of these 11 men and all those others that followed them. Wow. They didn't live for anything else but Jesus. They went around their world. They preached the gospel. Look at John, as I pointed out to you many times in the next to last chapter of this book, next to last verses in the chapter. He tells you why he wrote the book. So that you would believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you have life through his name. It's an evangelistic book. It's probably been published and printed by more than any other part of the Bible. Possibly, the Psalms would be up there. Did you remember, did you know the 23rd Psalm before you got saved? I did. I knew the 23rd Psalm. I knew the Ten Commandments. I knew the Beatitudes. I went to Sunday school on Sunday mornings. Wow. Sometimes those verses just come back into your head. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for letting me hear. That's the reason why we support missions. That commission, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Wow. How to fulfill that? Well, I really can't fulfill it all. Well, how about doing my part where I'm at? You can't fill it all. That is such an all-encompassing direction, order. You can't do it all. You can't preach to all the world. But you can preach to the people on your block or your family. You can preach to one town wherever you might go. I went to Guatemala, and I won a guy named Cesar Adan Herrera Piedra Santa to the Lord. My last birthday, he said, you know, I thought I ought to thank you very much for being my father in the faith. I led him to the Lord, and he's still preaching. Now, I didn't go to all the people in the world. I went to a few in Guatemala. But you know what? That's how it gets completed. It can't be done just by us preachers. It's got to be done by everybody. Amen. You need to let people know you're saved. Amen. You need to be able to stand up. I see all of these liquor and beer ads, and I'm glad that I quit it all when I got saved. But you know, there's just a lot of people that don't like what you stand for. And they're out in numbers. They've got a lot of money behind them. They've got radio stations and television stations behind them. They've got senators behind them. They've got money supporting their causes. And what we're doing is we're allowing this country to pass laws that go against the Bible. And that's a tragedy. Well, let's stand up for the Bible. Let's stand up for Jesus. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's your job. Well, how big a world do you meet? Well, some of you don't meet but few. That's all right. Let the few know. Let the few know. Let the few know. Bless your heart. Well, I enjoyed myself. I don't know whether you did. God bless you. Amen.